Good afternoon, everyone. Do you have your Bibles? People still bring their Bibles to camp? Not telephones. Telephones don't count. I want to look at two passages today. We're gonna talk about healing, and then we're going to have a time of healing this afternoon. Is that okay? How many believe Jesus still heals? Come on, amen. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today. I think if Jesus healed during his earthly ministry, then I think he still wants to heal during our earthly ministry. Amen? All right. Two passages. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 4. That's where we're going to land in just a moment. Matthew chapter 4. But I want to begin in John chapter 12. So we'll end in Matthew chapter 4. But let's begin in John chapter 14. I said chapter 12. I'm sorry. Chapter 14. John chapter 14. I read from the NASB. So, yay. I typically like that because I find it to be most accurate. So it may read a little different from what you have, but I think it'll all wash up to be the same. Here we go. Matthew chapter 14, verse 12, and you'll notice that it begins by Jesus saying, "Truly, truly." How many of you know that a lot of times when we end our prayers by saying truly? Although we don't say truly, we would say amen. It's actually amen. And Jesus begins a sentence by this way, amen or men or amen, amen. And it's a point of emphasis. You can end a sentence with that, but when you begin a sentence with that, it's for the point of emphasis. It's to say this. I need you to listen to what I'm about to say because what I'm about to say has truth on it. Now, if you've ever raised any kids, you'll know that you've grabbed them by the shirt collar and said, pay attention to the truth that I'm depositing. It isn't that they don't listen any other time, but you know on this occasion, they need to highlight what you're saying. This is Jesus. Amen, amen. Truly, truly. Or, what I'm about to tell you is absolute truth. You must believe what I'm saying is truth. That's how he begins. Well, that right there would have my attention. And then he says this, he who believes into me, so it's constant motion, it's not just believing in him, as a mental assent, yes, I believe him. No, it's believing into him. The preposition is motion, so I'm constantly believing more and more and more. Isn't that awesome? I got to talk to a lot of people. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. No, this is believing into him, meaning that there's constant growth in our lives. We don't just have a mental assent, we believe him. No, we're constantly believing for more. Amen? That's Jesus here. Truly, truly, I'm underscoring something. Hear what I'm saying. I'm telling you the truth. If you continually believe in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Isn't that awesome? I thought you would jump up and shout and cheer on that, folks. If Jesus is saying what he did, we can do. Simply, we can do what he did. I don't have an asterisk in my Bible that says, except for this, or maybe not that. No, it's a pretty much open-ended statement. Jesus is saying, the works that I do, the works, the activity, ergon is the word. It's the lifestyle. It's the works. It's the product. It's the things I have been doing Jesus says, if you believe in me, the works that I do, he will do also. That is beautiful. Gang, gospel truth, Jesus says, if he did it, you can do it. Amen? Now, this is a backdrop for healing. We're moving that direction. But I want to paint a picture from the word first to show you that it's just not a nice thing to do on a nice warm Sunday afternoon, but it's quite it's biblical. It's what Jesus would have us do. Now, no sooner do I get my head around that, and then Jesus continues. And greater. Holy smokes. I'm still grappling with the idea of just emulating him and replicating what he did. But Jesus says, oh, by the way, once you begin to fathom that you can do what I did, Jesus says, now, please understand, you can do greater, megas, beyond what I have done. Why? Because I go to my Father. What's that mean? Well, the reason that he went to his Father was to seal the essence of the new covenant. And what is the essence of the new covenant? The disbursement of what? The Holy Spirit. And now it's not just Jesus running around with the Spirit on him, but now in the new covenant, it's a bunch of Christians, people who replicate him, and all of us have Holy Spirit in us like Jesus had in him. And now it's just not one flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a bunch of people in a tabernacle like this that believe that we're jammed with the Holy Spirit and therefore we can operate in the same works that he did. Amen? That's huge. I go to my Father. So the works are contingent upon the fact that the Holy Spirit has been dispersed and we now live in that covenant. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Now, gang, I know. Let me just pull over for a moment and say this. That's a target on a wall. And if someone were teaching me archery and I kept missing the target, they're not going to make the bullseye bigger to help me. They're going to increase my skill. They're going to train me so that I'm more efficient and better trained to hit the target. I'm not doing what Jesus did completely. I am missing the mark. Please understand, I'm not batting 1,000, but I'm here to tell you the bullseye is still on the wall, and I'm doing everything under the scrutiny of his word and the Holy Spirit to become a man who hits the mark every single time we pray for healing. Are you with me? I'm netted out for you this way. When I lay hands on someone and believe that they're going to be healed and I don't see the miracle right away, if I learn later on they still haven't been healed, the problem is not with them. The problem is not with God. Somewhere in the mix, I'll assume that I'm not hitting the mark yet. But give me time. I am seeing a whole lot more in terms of miracles and healing now than I did say a decade ago. Amen. The target is still the target. Holy Spirit is training and teaching. I'm in the school of the Spirit. I'm still growing. I'm still developing. I'm still learning. Amen. All right. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew. And this is the inauguration of Jesus' earthly ministry, right here. Matthew, and we'll look at a couple of verses. Look at verse 17, Matthew 4, verse 17. Here's his inaugural message. Are you ready? From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. That word simply means change your mind. Change your thinking. Repent is not merely coming to the altar and crying. That may encompass repentance. There's an aspect of remorse in the term. But the word takes on the idea of changing your mindset. Literally beginning to think from a different perspective. Now, when Jesus said repent, change your mind, change your thinking, he said the reason why. He said because the kingdom is what? What's that mean? That means the kingdom is accessible. When I was growing up, my mother would place cookies in a range that were not accessible to me. And because our family, as you see, is short, although I'm very tall on this platform, I could not reach them. They were not accessible to me. They were out of reach. Jesus brought the kingdom into reach for all of us right here tonight, today. Now, what is the kingdom? The word kingdom, basileia, is the king's realm. It's the king's dominion, or the dominion of the king. Far as I know, there's only one king. Right? We're not talking about kings, plural. Jesus Christ is the one and only King of all kings and Lord of all lords. There is no other. There's no one who even comes. Hebrews 1:13, his enemy is a footstool to him. Jesus is the reigning king. Amen. Therefore, a king has a kingdom, a realm in which he rules, a territory, if you will. And everything within the territory of the king has to be subject to the rulership of the king. You cannot have a king and you cannot have a kingdom that is not in congruency. What do I mean by that? Everything within the territory of the king must come under the authority of the king. Amen? Has to, or else it's not a kingdom, and you don't have a king. So therefore, Jesus said, change your thinking. Change the way you process. Change your perspective. Change your whole disposition. Why? Because a superior realm, a superior kingdom is starting to inhabit the realm in which we live, and that kingdom is superior to this one here. Are you with me? Isn't that good news? Amen. I love Sunday afternoons in camp meeting. Amen? Nobody's warm, are you? Oh, by the way, conferences, I always get blessed, with the afternoon session. I call it the blessed two. You know why? Because nobody gets sleepy in the afternoon. Ed told me this camp's special. No one gets sleepy during afternoon services. Amen. The kingdom of God is superior to the kingdom of the earth. How are we told to pray? Luke 11, verse 2. Remember when the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. Jesus said, fine. And after worship, hallowed be thy name, what did Jesus say? Pray this way. Thy come. Thy will. Matthew 6:10 says, thy will be what? As it is on earth, as it is in heaven. Let me say that again. On earth, as it is in heaven. One more time. On earth, are there people in heaven right now who are oppressed by the devil? Anyone walking through heaven this way? Man. Devil's just on my back. Anyone? No, why? Because that would not be allowed or permitted in the realm of the kingdom. If that's not permitted in the realm of the kingdom, oh friend, it's not permitted here in this territory when the realm of his kingdom comes and invades here. That means that anyone who is oppressed by the devil can be set free. Oh my gosh, isn't that good news? Praise God. That's the kingdom. And Jesus says, hey, change your thinking. Because the realm, the territory of the kingdom is accessible. Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, when we pray for healing, we are not invoking the name of Rob. We're not invoking the name of our church. We're not invoking anything. We're invoking the name of Jesus Christ. And we are believing that the territory of his kingdom is coming to have dominion over what we do today, and the activities of the kingdom of God will be displayed here on earth. We operate with that perspective. See what I'm saying? We operate with that kind of faith. My faith is not in me. My faith is not in anyone. My faith rests in the realm of the kingdom of God. It rests in him. I am, Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. Okay, flip down to verse 23. Verse 23. A couple more thoughts, and then I want to share a couple of stories, and then I want us to pray this afternoon. Verse 23, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee. Now you're going to note three activities of the kingdom. Three activities of the kingdom. Number one, teaching. Teaching. That's the first activity of the kingdom. The word teaching is a word that means the impartation of instruction. But it's not just mental instruction. This word teaching takes on the idea of a life that has been changed, and therefore you teach in such a way that your life becomes the lesson. Anyone can teach a lesson, but it's altogether something different to teach a life. And this word here, teaching, is the display of a changed life. It's the impartation of a life that's been transformed, and therefore, teaching now becomes the impartation of what you are. How many of you know that people become what you are, not what you say? That's this word. And Jesus was teaching. That's the first aspect of kingdom activity. Now, let me just remind you, the works he did, we can do. And if Jesus taught, we can teach. If Jesus' life became an impartation of instruction, then every one of us can become an impartation of instruction. Every one of us can teach. You understand this isn't someone who has a teaching position, say at a school or a Sunday school. No, this is everyone from the youngest here to the very oldest. All of us, our lives can be an instrument that God teaches through. Number two. Proclaiming, preaching. That is the word to herald or carry or dispense the gospel. That means that everywhere we go, we carry the good news of the gospel. That means that no one should be safe around a spirit-filled believer. Isn't that right? I mean, think about that, man. The next time you go to Walmart, your life is so contagious that someone just might get touched because you walked in there with Jesus. And you're a dispenser of what? You carry. You're a herald. You carry the good news of the kingdom. What is the good news? It's the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Oh, what's the good news? Oh, it's the good news of the kingdom. It means that people don't have to be oppressed. People don't have to be waylaid by anxiety and fear. People don't have to wallow in sin. People don't have to succumb to addictions. People can walk in liberty and freedom, because the good news of the kingdom is that Christ can set them free. He came with an anointing, Luke 4:18, to set captives free. Amen. Isn't it good? And we're talking about functions or works of the kingdom. Teaching, proclaiming. That means every one of us in this room, if we're operating from a kingdom perspective, we can all teach, we can impart instruction, we can all proclaim, carry the gospel. Number three, and healing. Every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Let me read that again. And healing. Every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. I looked up the word every. Guess what it means? It means every. Everything is encompassed in that little word. Everything. Now, the word healing is a fascinating term because it carries the idea of someone who is in a servant's position to the king. Watch this. They wait or serve the king. We might think of, you go to a nice restaurant and you have a waiter or a waitress and they wait on you. That's the idea. They wait, they serve you. They are at your beck and call, as it were. They serve you. This word here carries the idea that Jesus is waiting, serving the Father, the King of the kingdom. And as he waits on the Father, he's dispensing from the Father what the Father gives for those whom Jesus begins to minister to. And so the idea is this: as Jesus was healing every disease and every sickness in the relationship with the Father, he was dispensing what each person needed, and what each person needed was fulfilled because the Father is the King of the kingdom, and the Father was pouring through Christ to meet the needs of those who were represented in the crowds. See, let me just say it very simply. I'm not the healer. His name is Yahweh Rapha. The King of the King is the healer. So we don't look at any man or any woman and say, wow, we need you to lay hands on me, or we need you to pray. No, in reality, we just need the Holy Spirit to lay hands on us. We don't worship a person, because the person is just merely the instrument whereby the Father pours the healing through to touch another human being. We're the instrument. Now watch this. Healing. Every kind of sickness among the people. Verse 24. The news about him spread throughout all Syria. And they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. So why do we do healing services? The same reason we would teach. The same reason we would preach. It's part of the fundamental works that Jesus did. And then he said, now, if you have faith in me, you can do what I did. And so we teach, we preach, and we heal. You want to hear something kind of funny that may not be funny because it may provoke you a little bit? Jesus never taught us to even pray for the sick. He said, just heal them. I see that didn't go over well. It's not in there, Ed. It's in James, but Jesus didn't teach us. Why? I guess because he expects us to just to do it. Let me give you a couple of stories. I believed in healing intellectually. I went to seminary. I'm not against education, but I did the whole track, the whole educational thing. And so I had a mental understanding of it. Yeah, it's in the Word, but more than likely it's not going to happen. It's kind of a hit and miss kind of a thing, you know, just kind of a, let's see what happens, throw the arrow out and see what goes on. It's like a, like gambling. A little over 12 years ago when we were pastoring, Holy Spirit moved powerfully. We pastored our church for about 21 years that we started in Columbus, by the way. And anyway, Holy Spirit came mightily, powerfully, profoundly, unmistakably in our church a little over 12 years ago. And we began to live in what we called a culture of revival. We had more people get born again, more people get set free from oppression. It was just lots of fun. First miracle that I think I really ever saw was a woman in our church who had injured her back, and she was in constant pain. Now, there's a few places on your body that when you have pain, it's just unbearable. Your back is one of them. Am I right? She had lower back pain, discs that were all jacked up, constant, unbearable pain. Nothing touched it. And what are you going to do? Just live on Percocet? I mean, so it's like nothing touched it anyway. Constant pain. Getting in a car, getting out of a car, sitting down, standing up. Anywhere, everywhere she went, constant pain, 20 years. 20 years. First miracle we ever saw. We did a healing line after the Holy Spirit fell in our church. We began to actually believe the Word. Anyway, first healing miracle. Had people come forward. And she was prayed for by a friend of ours. And the person just simply said, Jesus, you're the healer. Release your healing. That was all she said. It wasn't a song and dance. It wasn't a mantra. And the power of God's Holy Spirit fell on this woman and completely healed her back. She started saying, oh my God, oh my. And to this day, she's still pain-free in her back. Come on, church. It opened my eyes. We started practicing healing, laying hands on people, believing that God wanted to do what His Word said. And we started seeing people get healed. I'm going to tell you two quick stories. Three. Quick. Well, the one that I was going to tell you is the first, what I could say, a miracle. Because there's a difference between healing and miracles, but we don't need to get into that. I was in Jamaica doing ministry a little over 7 years ago. And we prayed for a boy named Romario who was 8 years old, who was completely blind. Romario had a botched surgery. He was able to see prior to the surgery. After the surgery, they declared him NLP, non-light perception. You put a flashlight in his face, he couldn't see it. I was with a team. We prayed over this little boy. After 3 hours, God opened his eyes. The first thing he saw was my friend who was with me, his big nose. Isn't that awesome? By the time we landed in Atlanta, coming home from Jamaica, he was in the backyard running around chasing his dog. Come on, church. Can we celebrate that? Sometimes it's not instantaneous. Like when Jesus said to the 10 lepers, go, show yourself to the priest. It looked like Jesus struck out because nothing happened. But it wasn't until later on the healing came. Two quick stories. Number one, friend of mine, his name's Craig Wrench. He's on our ministry team in our ministry that we travel with. Craig, when he was pastoring, had a woman in his church who had a rare blood disease. It was like lupus. And this woman wanted to be healed, so she came forward in a healing line. Prayed, nothing happened. Next healing service, came forward, prayed, nothing happened. Next service, prayed, nothing happened. This woman came forward to be prayed for. Are you ready? 50 times. And nothing happened. On the 51st time she came forward, the power of God touched her. She said it felt like liquid honey, warm, ran down all over her body. She was instantly healed. Craig, who was the pastor at the time, who now travels full time, saw her last year, maybe 18 months ago, and that was over 30 years ago, and she's still free of the disease. Why did it take 51? I don't have a clue. Can I tell you that there is so much mystery shrouded around this whole subject matter? I don't have all the answers, gang. Did I not tell you that I'm a learner? That I'm still in the school of the Spirit? I'm just a boy trying to practice what I see in the Word, man. That's all. I'm just trying to be obedient and do what the Word says. I don't have all the answers. I know who does. And I trust Him. And I trust His Word. I don't know why it takes 51 times. What I'm saying is, you may have been prayed before. Someone may have prayed for you last year. Maybe last week. Maybe 5 years ago. Maybe every time there's a healing service, you come forward. And you're saying, man, I don't know if it's going to work. Let me just tell you, if the woman would have stopped at 37 or 43, she wouldn't have been healed. She kept pressing forward. She contended for the faith, Jude verse 3, and gang, she was touched. Come on. Last story. And then I want us to pray, and I'll give some direction on that. When I was pastoring at my church, we had a worship leader that's been with us for about 18 years. My wife and I had the privilege of leading her to faith. Kim, would you stand? Would you stand up just for a moment, real quick? This is our worship pastor. Amen? Yeah. She was with Cindy and me for 18 years. Gave her life to Jesus Christ in our living room, and the rest is history. All right. She came to us. She has a son, her and her husband. And she said, I'd like you to pray for our boy. What's wrong with him? Well, he has like these blood vessels around his brain. And any type of cardiovascular activity, he'll have a seizure. So he can't even run. He can't jump. He can't... If any type of motion begins to create his heart to move and pump, he's going to have a seizure. So he was taking some very serious medication at the time. So we begin to pray. Now watch. We laid hands on him. We anointed him. MRI, same result. And he was going to Children's Hospital, a place that I think is a remarkable place for children, no doubt. 6 months later, we anointed him. We prayed, MRI, same result. 6 months later, we anointed him. We prayed, MRI, same result. 6 months later, we anointed him. We prayed, MRI, same result. 6 months later, we anointed him. We prayed, MRI, same result. Now, we have people say, how many times are you going to pray for the boy before you just accept it? Let me ask you, how many times would you pray for a lost son or daughter who in their rebellion does not give their life to Jesus, and you say, hey, just accept it. Let the kid be rebellious and let him end up in a Christless eternity. You say, Rob, it's not the same. Yes, it is. Because in the New Testament, salvation is not just the forgiveness of the sins, it's a totality. It is a full package deal. The word soteria, which is where we get the word salvation, is sin, is the mind, is the body, is deliverance. It is a package deal. You would never go buy a car and then the salesman say, do you want the engine with that? Well, yes, I would. Oh, okay, that's going to be an extra $20,000. Now, would you like tires with that? Well, yes, I would. Well, that's going to be another. You see what I'm saying? It's a package deal. Can I tell you that soteria, salvation, is a package deal? It was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. By His stripes. So we contended for that. Why? Because it's in the Word. I can't find a caveat in the New Testament. I can't find an asterisk that says unless or except. Nothing like that. There's nothing in the Word that would convince me otherwise. I don't understand it all. So what will I do? Consult this. I don't turn to theologians. I don't turn to good books. I turn to the book, because this is where I get my marching orders. Here's the instructions, gang. And I'm not going to lower the Bible down to the standard of my living. I'm going to lift my standard of my living to the Word. Did you see what I'm saying? Six months later, we anointed him. We prayed. MRI, same result. 6 months later, we anointed him. We prayed. MRI, same result. What do you think happened 6 months later? We anointed him. We prayed. Same result. Are you ready? We did this for 9 years. You ask her. 9 years. 9 years. 9 years. We had a guy come to our church, our friend, pastor friend of ours. He stood up to preach. And before he preached, Kim was sitting on the second row, and he didn't know her. He pointed at her and he said, excuse me, ma'am, do you have a son? Well, yes, I do. I believe I heard the Lord say, your son's going to be normal. Does that make sense to you? Well, that made sense to the whole church. He went on and preached. We didn't listen to what he said. She scheduled an MRI. And if I recall right, he wasn't real pleased with it. Because the idea was, please, one more time, will you check the results? And he was slightly agitated. But now watch this. The guy came into a room and told these parents, I don't understand it. Your boy is going to be normal. And today, her son is a worship leader in California, and he takes his shoes off. When he worships, he jumps up and down, man. Sweats like crazy. Why? Because the boy's been healed by the power of God. I sat down here this morning, moved, by the way, from Brother Ed's message. Beautiful message. I sat down here and I said, God, wouldn't it be something if the power and the presence of your Spirit moved in this afternoon and people got healed? Come on, church, wouldn't that be something? Now, we have the privilege to crisscross the nation. I've been traveling since 2009. We're full time now. We've been all over the nation and we've seen people get touched. Sometimes instantly, sometimes progressively. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I believe today, based on what I've seen in past services, And based on what I know about the Word, I believe today people are going to be healed. I do. Is that okay with you? Amen? So here's what I'd like to do. I want to do two invitations. Invitation number one. If you have some type of pain, chronic pain, or something that you would know without a doctor confirming it, that you've been touched, maybe back, maybe sleep disorder, maybe fibromyalgia. We see a lot of people get healed of fibromyalgia. Shoulder pain, back issues, neck, knee, maybe an injury that you had 20 years ago, but now there's pain in that area. If that's you, I want you to come. Right now, come on. Pain that is on your body as a result maybe of injury, maybe arthritis, maybe fibromyalgia, stomach ulcers. And if it's too painful for you to kneel, you can sit on the front seat. That's perfectly acceptable. Isn't this beautiful, church? Come on, isn't this beautiful? Brother Rob, I've asked before. I know, ask again. Come on, church, there's no shame in that. You're certainly welcome to join me, brother. Praise God. I believe in healing. I believe in it, first of all, because it's in the Word. And then secondly, because I've seen it all over the nation. But I want to see more. Because my Jesus bat 1,000. No one ever came to Jesus and left who weren't touched. I want to see that. Amen? Come on, church. Can we just take a moment now to thank the Lord for salvation, for healing, for what He did on a cross 2,000 years ago? Could we take a moment? Come on, Jesus, we thank You right now. Come on. We thank You. You're a good, good God. And we bless You, Father. We bless You. Father, we thank You 2,000 years ago. And when Jesus died on a cross and shed His blood, He made a declaration, tetelestai, it is finished. No, He's not getting around to it. Maybe one day I'll think about it. No, Jesus made a declaration. It is finished. Now, Father, right now, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You, Father, that the realm of the kingdom changes our perspective. We do what we do today because the kingdom is at hand. We do what we do today because Jesus told us, change your thinking. Change your thinking. Change your thinking. So we want to change our thinking today. We want to begin to think from the perspective that every single one of these precious people get up from this altar and have no more pain. Yeah. We want to believe today from the kingdom perspective that what Jesus said 2,000 years ago, it is finished. It's done. So Father, right now, Holy Spirit, come. Release. Come on, Yahweh Rapha, the healer who's already in this room. Would You begin to touch backs and knees and shoulders and eyes and ears? Would You begin to move, God, on that pain, that malady? Would you begin to move, oh God, on stiff joints, arthritis, fibromyalgia, neck pain, knee pain. Come on, God, would you begin to move right now on joints that are very stiff? Right now, in the name of Jesus, come on, release. Release healing in Jesus' name. Release healing. We don't care, God, if it's been the first prayer or many. We don't understand all of that stuff. We just know that you're a good, good God. We just know that when the kingdom comes, enormous things can be done. Now, Father, release right now the healing on these, that they don't need a doctor to confirm. They'll know. They'll know right now. They'll know this afternoon. They'll know tonight. They'll know tomorrow when they get out of bed. They'll know sometime this week before they put their milk on their Cheerios. Oh my goodness. I don't have any more pain. No more pain. I'll never forget the lady who threw her cane down. I think she was like in her 80s. She threw her cane down and she said, "No pain, no cane." I've seen it all. Does that mean it's wrong to carry a cane? No, of course not. I think it's just always good to trust Jesus. Amen? Now, here's what I want to do. We're going to do this for the second invitation. We're going to thank Jesus. Thank Him for what? For healing. Why? Because we did what His Word said, and so we thank Him, right? Is that okay? And could I get you to lift your voice? Come on, could we all just begin to thank Him for His goodness? Come on, lift your voice. God, we just thank You. Come on, lift your voices, church. Come on. Father, we thank You tonight, today. Come on. We thank You, Jesus. You're a good, good God. Come on, lift your voice. God, we thank You today. We thank You that Jesus, You are the healer. And we thank You for touching every one of these precious people. We thank You, Father, that Father, when we release healing, when we say in Jesus' name, it's done. Why? Because the kingdom of God is superior to the kingdoms of this earth. And so, God, thank You for no pain. Thank You for freedom, God. Thank You for no arthritis. Thank You for no fibromyalgia. Thank You, God, for new joints, God. Thank You that people can bend down and tie their shoe, God, with no pain. Thank You that they can sleep through the night with no disorders. God, thank You in Jesus' name for touching these. Amen. We give the Lord a hand. Come on. And now, before you go back to seat, I mean this. Try it out. Seriously, try it out. Don't do anything stupid. I mean, like, run across on top of the pews unless God tells you to. But you know what I'm saying? Stretch out a little bit. Don't do something crazy. But if you feel like, hey, man, that's awesome, then come back and share with Brother Ed tonight. Share with me. Share with your friends. I believe God touched me this afternoon. If it's tomorrow, then testify tomorrow. Amen? But try it out. See that the Lord is good. Amen. Praise God. Bless you guys. Thank you so much. I like this shirt, Walk in Love. Amen. We're going to talk about that, I think, tomorrow night. Maybe tonight. Who's not saved?
She's been ill for so long. I can't get up.
Tell me your name.
Marissa?
Ruth. Okay, that's your daughter's name? Ruth. Okay, we're going to pray for her, okay? We're going to pray. We're going to pray for people who we know who's sick. We're going to pray for Ruth, this woman's daughter. Okay, we're going to pray. All right, here's what I want to pray for now. If you have been diagnosed with something, and you won't know if you're healed until you go back to a doctor and they do a scan or they do a biopsy or they do something that you won't know. like Joe, when we prayed for Joe, we wouldn't know until they did an MRI. If that's you, if you've been diagnosed with something that you won't know until you go to a doctor, I want you to come forward right now. We want to pray for you. Okay? Come on. This would be like, maybe like diabetes, liver disease, cancer. This would be symptoms of dementia or Alzheimer's. Anything such of that nature that you would not know probably until you go to a doctor. Isn't this beautiful, church? Amen? It's just so beautiful. I never grow weary, Jesus. I never grow weary of hearing a testimony about how someone stunned a doctor. How maybe, God, a physician walked into a room and they were ready to do surgery, but the tumor was gone. Or they were ready to do heart surgery, like I heard about at OSU, and lo and behold, the person had a new heart. In Acts chapter 19, Father, we see actually creative miracles. Some scholars believe that what happened in Ephesus was that new body parts actually began to form. I don't understand all of this, Jesus. I stand in your word today. I'm just a boy trying to do what your word says. But we're going to decree and declare today in the name of Jesus Christ that you bring an extraordinary supernatural miracle or healing on each and every person that has come forward this afternoon right now. That the next time they go to the doctor will say, I don't understand, but it looks to me like things are different. Maybe some of them, God, have Christian doctors. I know Cindy and I do. And God, these doctors will begin to give praise to the Lord. Maybe they're not Christian doctors, but yet they'll realize that something so extraordinary has to go beyond medical science. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we say, let the miracle be done. Let the healing be done. And may the next time they go to a doctor, they return with a testimony that they can share here or share with their friends or at their local church. All glory and praise go to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we begin to thank God now? Could you just lift your voices now? Come on, let's thank Him. So Father, now we thank You in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your voices. Come on, God, we thank You. You're a good, good God. We thank You that You're the way maker. Amen. Come on. We thank You that Your name's Baal-perazim, master of the breakthroughs. David found that out. So, Father, we thank You for breakthrough. We thank You that God, we might have prayed many times before this, God. But today was the day. Today was the day. You heard our voice. Today was the day of salvation. Today was the day that the power and the presence of God converged and heaven and earth collided and a miracle was done. In Jesus' name, we thank You. Amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? Come on. Praise God. So good. So good. I'd like us to stand. I'd like us to stand. Everybody stand. You guys have been so awesome this afternoon. We got another service tonight, right? 6 o'clock? Are you guys coming back? You're not going to go home, are you? Two things real quick. How many of us know someone in our family who's very sick, has a disease or something like that? Put your hand up. Okay, I'm not being silly. I want you to look at your hands right now. Jesus wants to use that to lay on them and release healing. Right there. See your hands? You don't need me. You don't need Brother Groff. You have Holy Spirit. You really do. And I want you, seriously, within the maybe the next month, maybe they live far away and you have to do it over a phone. But here's what I'd like you to do. In the next month, I'd like you to go see them and say, I'd like to pray. Well, we prayed many times. I'd like to pray again. And I'd like you to lay hands on them and I'd like you to say, in Jesus' name, be healed. Could we do that? Could we do that? Amen? So, Father, right now I thank you for the healing that's going to take place right now. God, this precious woman who carries such a burden. God, I remember sometime when someone said to me, well, healing's not the big deal. Well, say that to someone who's sick. It is a big deal. Healing's a big deal to someone who lives with chronic pain or an illness that threatens the quality of life. And so, Father, right now, we know heaven is the ultimate healing. We know that. But until we get to heaven, God, we want to live free of disease, sickness, the various maladies that you healed people from. So right now, release your healing through every one of us when we lay hands on our friends. For that matter, in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus, you said, the centurion said, just say the word. As far as that's concerned, we just say the word in Jesus' name. Amen? Come on. And now, one more thing. And then we're done. I realize that in any crowd, and we'll talk more about this maybe Tuesday night. I'm kind of short, so I don't know if I can see in the back. Let me come up here. Do you know what's crippling God's people? Fear, anxiety, stress, tension. People are so wound up by earthly matters, they can't think from a kingdom perspective. I think we're going to talk about that Monday or Tuesday night. Not sure. But I think there's enormous amount of damage being done to God's people because of mental anguish. I want you to put your hands on somebody's shoulders, especially if you know them. Put your hands on somebody's shoulders beside you. Come on. Could you just right now, in Jesus' name, begin to pray, God, set them free from anything that oppresses them. Come on, right now. Fear. Come on, right now. Worry. Tension. Stress. Come on. Any anxiety. Come on, right now. Go in Jesus' name. Right now. Come on. No fear. No tension. No stress. No anxiety. Gone in Jesus' name. Acts 10 verse 38. Jesus went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So we say in Jesus' name, all oppression, gone. Fear about a marriage. Fear about our finances. Fear. Gone in Jesus' name. We'll not carry the torment of fear. Mental anguish, gone in Jesus' name. Nightmares, gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. That you can give us perfect peace, as Isaiah says, whose mind is stayed on you. Bless every senior adult, middle-aged adult, and these young people. In Jesus' name. Everyone agreed? Amen? Can we give the Lord a hand? Come on. He's so good. Is that it, brother? Amen. We'll see you tonight, man, 6 p.m. God bless you, everyone.